welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Just a word before I turn you to what God's put on my heart this morning about this week of prayer and fasting. But let me just preempt that with two other things. This year, really every year, it's always true to life. As for us Christians, there are two very important areas that we should give priority attention to. I was blessed, wherever Graham is, with your word this morning on giving. You know, people invariably, and I'm bold enough to say it, probably in this congregation, and though this is a great congregation of people, when money is talked about, we sort of just, you know, flip off or find a reason of judging the speaker or whatever. Now, if that's not you, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those it might be, but it's there. I know it. I've been around too long. I've heard too many people tell me the other side of the coin, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. I have chosen to walk according to this, not what's convenient to me. You hear what I said? And there are two things, and it's been touched both this morning. One is giving our finance, tithes and offerings. A lot of people don't believe that in the Bible. Christians don't believe it. They're the losers. When the Bible says that don't rob God, don't rob Him. He means it. It means it. Some people want to get a pen, and they call it the blue pencil that they go through the Bible with, and they put this blue line through all the things that they don't believe. It's not actually a pencil, it's an imagination. Don't believe that. But what they've done is put a pencil through this Word of God that we've just stood and said, I believe this Word. Two powerful things that sustain the life of the Christian, but more importantly, sustain the plan of God through the church in the earth. Two very powerful things. One is your financial giving. The work of God cannot function without giving. Can your house function without money? Can you travel far in the land or overseas without money? Then how can the gospel go into the land or out of the land and travel without money? That's a simple thing. Just like your house can't exist without money, nor can mine, nor can the house, physical house of God. You can't do it. But that's just one side of it. The other side of giving is that God's plan, and we teach it, but Graham shared it very powerfully this morning. Giving is God's plan to give to you. People don't understand that. And so many people in struggle, they can't even manage to get their weekly salary to spread to where they need it to go. And they don't understand that when God says, it is I that gives you power to get wealth, He meant it. And I don't know what the people say in answer to that question. When God says it is I that gives you power to get wealth, I don't know what those people that don't believe in giving believes then is God's way of giving us power to get wealth. How does He do it? Anyway, that's not what we're here for. The other thing apart from giving, and may this year reflect both of these, is the importance and power of prayer. You cannot back off in prayer in the house of God. You cannot back off in prayer in your home. But like giving, prayer cannot be an act of bondage. You know, when my wife started calling me, I'm in trouble again, but it's the way I've said it. And I said it deliberately. When we started courting, you know, and we started talking together, and I think I have a strange suspicion that a few others here, maybe more than a few, when you started courting, you just wanted to see each other. And you just wanted to talk to each other. And you just wanted to phone each other if you couldn't get talking. Now, that wasn't a hard task. That wasn't a pain that went right through your whole being from the head to your feet. That was a must-do thing. There was a driving force within you. They call it L-O-V-E. It's a relationship that links us, that is a magnetic pull from that moment onwards. I want to be with this woman. I want to talk with this woman. And this woman's all over this man, and she's always wanted to talk to me. No lunch for me again a day. But I hope you hear what I'm saying. Talking to God in prayer is a love relationship. You do it because you want it. You do it, first of all, because if you found out who he is. Secondly, you do it because it opens up this word to you. And this word starts to function in your life. When you start praying this word into being. It's a love relationship. I've never talked to God. I don't talk to God out of a must. I love to. Anyway, I must get watch this time. I'm not here to preach about that this morning. But I want to encourage you not to miss this week of prayer. I want to encourage you not just to miss this week of prayer, but to come fasting. That means missing a meal. I want to encourage you. I'm not going to make you. I'm going to encourage you to have a breakfast if you need to, but if you can do without a breakfast, don't take your breakfast, don't take your dinner, and don't take a meal through the day until you've come home from the prayer meeting and break your fast. What I want to encourage you to do, that you come to the place of prayer with nothing hindering you physically or mentally. There's a strength and an openness within you that you'll be surprised is there. Because you've got no food weighing down the workings of your body. You are totally alert mentally and physically for the Spirit of God now to flow through you. It's easy. No distractions. I'm telling you not only biblically, I'm telling you from experience over many years. Fasting is a powerful thing. Prayer with fasting. Can we put up Matthew 17, verse 21? Let's go back. Verse 17. Thank you. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. This was a young man that was brought to him who had, was he at epilepsy? I'm not sure. But anyway, he needed prayer. Well, let's go to verse 15. Did you get the whole thing right? Oh, here, she brought her son to Jesus and she said, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. You can put the others one up through to 21, would you? So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Here's someone, it's like somebody bringing such a person to you or me, who's a disciple of Jesus. We'll pray for him, but we can't heal him. That's what took place here with the disciples. In verse 17, Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. He was talking to his disciples. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon. Notice what it was. It wasn't a medical condition. Didn't notice this? Notice what it was. He rebuked the demon. And it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, and that's the smallest seed that there is, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this is the verse I want you to get. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. You have to come to a place, if you're going to be an instrument in the hand of God, where you've shaken off anything that the devil can use to limit you. Anything. So it's not too much for you to fast a day, a week, or 2 weeks. You'd be wise if you fast a month that you can do that, but the Bible, medical science tells us that we start to we start to die. Starvation sets in, and we start to die after a month. So what you do is, whenever you, whether you fasted for anything over 3 days, you never go straight back and start having an ordinary meal. You just take toast in water, or just something easy and soft you can eat a little, not a full meal. I'm telling you that. I may have shared it in the past, I'm not sure. Not because I've had to learn it, and I have through the right courses, but I learned it the hard way by experience. I fasted in a long time, and then my time was finished, I've promised, and I said to my wonderful wife, when you're out today, would you get this, this, and this, and this? And I was going to have a great, awesome fry, which I had. Soda bread, potato bread, oh, I mean, this was awesome. That's true. And it nearly killed me. I'm serious, you know. That's why do you think that when Jesus came out of the wilderness, the first temptation Satan brought against Jesus was what? Turn these into the dirty rotter. He knew what it would do to Jesus. He couldn't eat that, but he didn't know who he was dealing with, really, did he? Jesus knew already. But Jesus told him, not interested. But I'm simply saying this to say, tomorrow, come fasting. Come fasting. I've said enough to you, whether you miss one meal or all your meals. But come fasting, because you've come to be an instrument through which the Holy Spirit of God can pray through. And come with an openness of mind and heart to pray. This church needs your prayer. The ministry of this church needs your prayer. The finances of this church need your prayer. We have a sanctuary there that we need to get back into, and it's going to take yet a lot more money to get into there, the work we've got to do. We need your prayer. The men and women, the families around us need your prayer. And money, we need money to send to missionaries that we are involved with as a church. We need money. Prayer brings that. But I want to tell you, it's not prayer that first of all brings that to the church. It's prayer that changes us. When we've got been changed by the effectiveness of prayer, then we become an instrument in the hand of the Holy Ghost. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is off the table. Everything's there, whatever. But it's prayer that does that. Prayer that isn't, oh, it's a prayer meeting tonight. No. It's prayer that comes out of a heart that says, I love you, Lord. I love you. Do you want to talk to God? So prayer and fasting tomorrow. I'm going to encourage you, every one of you, to come to the house of God. Bring your families. Come and pray together. Come to pray. There'll be some simple directions and areas that we need to major into, but that's not, come with a heart. I'm here for the Spirit of the Lord to pray through me. Hallelujah. Come with your spiritual anointing. Because you want to hear the prophetic word flow. We want the word of encouragement that comes. And it comes through the body. Not me all the time. It's not me, me, me. Don't think I'm some God standing here. I'm just one of us. I'm just the first amongst equals. That's it. Come. Because you and I are the body of Christ. I am not the body of Christ. We are together. And my Lord, we can change things if we will. If we have a mind to work. Think of that. A mind to work. A mind to work. Where does a mind to work come out of? Getting a vision for something. You know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 11, I think verse 2 or verse 4, it talks about their building the Tower of Babel. We're going to build this tower right up to God. We're gonna raise this as a monument to God, and we're going to be recognized by this, and we're going to let this be known to everybody that we did this. You see what they were doing? They were building something up to God, but it was for them. In other words, look at us. Well, I want to tell you, if that's ever your and my approach, if I want recognition, then you're trying to push Jesus out. The recognition goes to him. Count it a privilege to be a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So come praying and come fasting that we can bring some change to things. I started talking there about the Tower of Babel. The Bible says in that chapter that they were so in agreement with this thing. You can read it for yourself. Genesis 11, I think verse 2 on, but Genesis 11. And I'd rather you didn't go, you can't do it. And they said, God looked down on them and saw what they were doing. And his words were something like this. He said, now that they've decided to do this, and because of their unity and agreement, he said, nothing can be withheld from them. Because all of these people got the same mind. I want to tell you, I'm going to minister to us one of these days again, earlier in this year, on the importance of unity. Unity in your marriage, unity in your family, unity in your workplace, unity in what you do, unity in the church. Unity. There is nothing more powerful, but one thing is, than unity. The one thing more powerful than unity is the love of God. But unity opens every door. Every door. And in Genesis, it says nothing can be withheld from them because they're all pulling together. They're all in agreement. We need to look to become a church this year whereby we're all pulling together. Nobody's holding back on any front. We're all pulling together and watch a town and watch a county and watch a nation start to be changed as we prepare for what's the impending coming of Jesus. Because it's what it takes. It takes us all together. And what happened in the days of Nehemiah, there was a similar situation take place that we have. The walls of Jericho were knocked down. And it was totally open. There was no security or safety there. And Nehemiah, he was just a cupbearer, but he got a heart for this. And he looked around and says, how could this be when this is the city of God? And he went and got permission himself. No one back in. He went to get permission from the tyrant king. He was now under his jurisdiction and said, if you will give me favor, I want to go back home and I want to take some men with me. I want us to rebuild our walls again because they're being ravaged. And he won favor with the king to the degree he got all he needed to do it, the materials, I guess the expense. And they went back and they rebuilt the walls of the city. And the Bible says in Nehemiah that they built the walls in double quick time. And it says this, because, somebody help me? They had a mind to work. Listen to the word, not singular, it's a plural word. They had a mind to work. Not what was convenient, a mind to work. And they built that in spite of those that were standing around calling them names and telling them they're never going to accomplish this thing. So I'm going to encourage you through this week. It's just 1 hour. It's just 1 hour. What would you do with that hour anyway? Come fasting. Go home and enjoy breaking the fast together. And let's pray together. Let's see change for this year. So much I want to say, but I'm not going to get ministry this morning. I am going to let you go, but I'm going to do something that I did last year. And I'm going to read to you. I'll remind you of the poem, The Gate of the Year. We read it last year. It seems just like last week that I was reading this. It's a year ago, church. The other day, I took time to look at the board, which we'll see tonight. It was the it was the result of the week of prayer meetings where we wrote down through the 7 days of 5 days of prayer, the things that God spoke to us, the things that we were looking to God for. We wrote them down. When I looked at that, I thought, a year's gone already. Father, forgive us, but we don't seem to have done too much with this. And I'm telling you that there's nothing that can stand before us if we as a church have a mind to work. And don't consider the decisions that I'm going to come and do this or do that if somebody else is coming. I'm not responsible for others. I'm responsible for me. And you're responsible for you. And you're responsible as I am for what I prioritize or don't prioritize. You say, Pastor, that's pretty heavy. No, no. I'm a born-again believer, and I love Jesus Christ with all my heart, and I believe He is who He is. And He has given me and you the privilege of being an instrument in His hand to reveal His glory and His love. That we can live it in our own lives, that we can share it with others. We can get rid of the fanciful ideas that we've had in the world and we've brought them into the church with us, and there's a lot of people that have done that. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. As for God, listen to me. The word says this, as for God, His way. Can I say it again? As for God, His way is what?
Perfect.
The way of the Lord is a tested, tried, and proven way. Don't try and substitute it with your own fancy ideas or the world's ideas or the notions that you come up with because you don't want to. So you find some excuse that sounds spiritual. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. It's okay. It's been well proven. It will never fail. Those that walk by faith. Walk by sight, and you're going to carry on around the mountain another 10 years. Amen. Hey, any fathers and mothers here? Of course there are. You know what it is. You never have to give your children a talk, do you? Do you? I'll be sure of this. When you do it because I hope it's always, but you, I hope one, that you do it. That two, when you do it with a good motive and for the betterment of your children and family. I hope that's it. That's what's happening this morning. What's happening this morning? Without those rain checks, you know. So I'm going to read this. And then I'm going to give you a scripture, and maybe we'll talk about it next week. Listen to this. This poem was, you know, King George was the Queen's mother, father, this is, was a Christian man. He's the only king I'm mindful of, certainly of our nation, that's ever called the nation to prayer. I think it's at least twice, but certainly I think it's three times. He called the nation to pray. Where would you hear that today? The nation to pray. And he read this on his Christmas speech in 1939 to the nation. He read it. That shows the man. That shows, if you like, the humility of heart and spirit, because he was showing his trust is in God. God knows, is the title. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, that's where we're standing right now, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night, and He led me towards the hills and the breaking of the day in the lone east. On this day, and I will pick it up next Sunday, I wanted to encourage this church to put your hand in the hand of God. I want you to come to an abrupt halt in all that your thinking is and all that your plans are and all that your feelings are right now. Come to a stop. And just say, here is a whole new period of time, a whole year that God has planned for my life, for your life. God has purposed. And you know, the blessing of the Lord only makes one wretch and has no sorrow with it. God's plan for your life and mine is a plan that's full of blessing, perfect, fulfillment, enrichment. God, who knows the end from the beginning, knows your end and my end for 2019 and has planned our destiny for this year. How do you make sure that you embrace it and don't miss it? Well, you make sure that you start it off the way you mean to carry on, and that's putting your hand in His and embracing this word with all of your being. So this word becomes the intelligence by which your brain functions and thinks and speaks and causes your actions to be a corresponding action based upon this word and not your thoughts. You put your hand in the hand of the Lord, that through this year, those plans and purposes and destinies that God's got for you and me, and He has them. He's our Heavenly Father. He's planned your life. He's planned mine. He's planned your existence. Yet most of us are planning our own year. And most of us haven't got much of God in that planned year. But God's got a plan. And as we put our hand in God and start walking with Him, it doesn't mean to say you can't do the things that you want to do and plan to do, but you keep God first. And you start walking in God's ways. And those things that God planned for you for this year, and God's a good God, so you who loves us, and the greatest thing is love. So everything for you and me from God is good and great. Without that, you miss it. And I miss it. Without that, you walk your own destiny, because you made your own destiny by planning your own plans rather than this. I will pick it up next week and I'll let you go in about 3 minutes. Let me just say that, what was I going to say to you this morning? I was going to read the scripture to you. I was going to start talking to you about putting your hand in the hand of God. We'll do that next week. We'll do that next week. But through this week, let me encourage you to take hold of this word and start reading it and living it from today. That you can indeed come through the week, day after day after day, full of what God's put in your spirit, put in your heart. Come with the strength that now is rising up in you by the inner man because of what God started to do with you spiritually. Oh, my Lord, it is awesome. Eye has not seen, an ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of a man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Love is the key. Love.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.